Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I am the vine, you are the branches. It is a stunningly simple image to understand, but then again, not everything in Scripture is complicated. For instance, love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. That's all pretty clear and straightforward. Actually doing it is another thing entirely, but the words themselves are clear. I am the vine, you are the branches. All you need to do is look out in the yard as spring moves towards summer. And we see what Jesus is talking about. Everywhere plants are putting forth new growth, branches, shoots, tendrils, leaves, buds. And yet none of that new growth would exist were there not the root and the stalk to begin with, the vine, if you will. Branches do not produce themselves. Branches don't wink into existence and then go look for something to attach themselves to. They are made by the vine and live only as long as they are attached to the vine. And that's a picture of our lives in Christ. We are of Christ. We are his workmanship. He made us through the waters of holy baptism. By water and the word, he gave us life. We, who were born into the dead inheritance of Adam, we are now Christ's branches. And we hear about all this in the Paschal season simply to emphasize two truths in particular. The first concerns the kind of vine that Jesus is. You see, in this world, while we know that branches only live as long as they're connected to the vine, we also know they only live as long as the vine lives. If the root goes sour, if the stalk becomes diseased, the branches soon share that fate. They have no vitality on their own. But Jesus, God be praised, Jesus is given as the everlasting vine. He who died, and behold, he lives. Death no longer has dominion over him. His life is without end or limit, which means that those connected to him, you branches, your lives in him will not end either. This is the glorious good news of the resurrection, seen from yet another perspective. I am the vine, you are the branches. Because I live, you live also. And the one living and believing in me shall never die. Hallelujah, amen. Christ is the vine, the ever-living one. That's the first truth that we're given here. The second is this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that sounds a little harsh, a little law-like for this gospel-filled Paschal season, but it is a reality that we have to face if we're going to receive the gifts that Jesus brings us in his death and resurrection. Apart from me, nothing. You all, most of you, have been in the garden, and you've pruned branches. And what happens with those branches that get cut off? They produce nothing. They wither. They die. Same goes for our life in Christ. If we become detached from him somehow, we shall produce nothing. We shall wither. We shall die. And this image is important to hold on to in order to combat a lie that the world and our flesh tells us. The lie that the goal of the spiritual life, the goal of the faith life, is somehow to get past needing the things of the church, the basics of the word, the simple disciplines of prayer, worship, and Bible study, and then move on to some kind of independence in which we become spiritual superheroes capable of some sort of unmediated communion with the divine. Jesus never talks like that. Scripture never points us that direction. We are always branches. We always live off the vine. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Which begs three questions. What threatens our connection to Jesus? How do we stay attached? And what is this fruit that he speaks of? To understand what threatens us, even in these bright days of the Paschal season, we need only remember the occasion when Jesus spoke these words to the disciples. They were in the upper room on the night when he was betrayed. They were about to face his death on behalf of their sins and the sins of the whole world. They were about to face days of doubt and despair as his body lay in the tomb. And even after his resurrection, Jesus was preparing them for his ascension, when his ordinary visible presence would no longer be seen by them. For 3 years, they were used to seeing him and speaking with him, just as we see one another here and speak and carry on conversation and fellowship. How could they be assured of his being with them when those luxuries were no longer granted? The old nature in us, ever prone to doubt and fear, often seeks its assurances anywhere but where Christ is promised. And so as the disciples face the dangers of being drawn away from the vine, so too do we face the danger of being drawn away. Now, the first threat to us is simply the world. When we do not have something concrete to hang on to in the church, we find ourselves easily distracted by the world outside, for the world has its own immediacies. Bills need to get paid. Family needs tending. Work needs to get done. Various entertainments and recreations beckon, and so Jesus can fall to second place or sometimes worse. And without ever intending to fall away, gradually by degrees, we can be drawn away. And if we do well by our various callings in this world, if we keep our lives in good order, we tell ourselves that we're doing what Jesus wants us to do. And that's enough. And yet, without receiving him where he's promised to be, here in word and sacrament, we lose the vitality of the life that he's come to bring us. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you will, the word and the sacrament are like the sap of the vine that flow into the branch, giving us Christ in his life. When we are not receiving that life, that nourishment, that energy from the vine, we wither and risk becoming completely separated from Christ and his things. Now, the other place where we can seek assurance of Christ being with us is, and that we've stayed close to him, is in the righteousness that we manifest in our own lives. There are plenty who, not seeing Jesus with their eyes, presume that they have Jesus in their hearts because they do good deeds and have mostly managed to keep the more obvious sins of the flesh in check. The only problem with counting on our personal righteousness as the proof that Christ is with us is that it doesn't quite wash. That is, our righteousness is never really righteous enough to be able to say, aha, you see that? That's Jesus in me. Now I know he's at work with me. Our righteousness always falls short of Christ. And what we do manage to do can be imitated by those outside the church. That is to say, as far as this world is concerned, there are plenty of non-believers, Hindus, Muslims, atheists, who remain good neighbors, who contribute to charity, who seek after the welfare of the community, who love their families, and who are kind to children and animals. So good order in our lives, righteousness, this can't prove that we're joined to the vine. And pursuing these things can in fact lead us away from Jesus and his promises. Then there are some who seek Jesus in success and growth. That is, they are convinced that you can know where Jesus is at work and present by looking at places where congregations increase in size and make impacts on their communities. Which is not to say that Jesus isn't at work in such places, but we also need the sober reminder that there's a congregation in Houston, Texas, where better than 20,000 people gather on a weekend, but where sin is seldom mentioned and Christ hardly ever proclaimed. It's big, it's successful, as the world counts such things, sells lots of books, but where's the vine? So success, righteousness, good order, these can all come with Christ, but none of them are a guarantee of his presence. So running after those things first would leave one in danger of being drawn away from the vine. So how then do we stay attached? Simple. You're cleaned, you're pruned, you're connected and fruitful, Jesus says, because of the word I proclaim to you. The word. Seems that we're always coming back to that. But that's because Jesus has put it next to himself at the center of our life in him. The word used by the Spirit brings Christ alive and powerful to each and every one of us. The word carried by the Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, does Christ's work, delivering us forgiveness, filling us with life, joining us to Christ and to each other. The word as the holy declaration of the law, which kills our old nature, and as the gospel, which brings us peace and reconciliation, the word connects us as branches to the living vine. You are forgiven, says Jesus, because he's here. You are mine. I am in you, you are in me, says Jesus, and we see him with the eyes of the heart. You are reconciled to my God and your God, my Father and your Father, and so we walk in light. And that light shows us the truth. Christ is here, the ever-living vine to feed us with his life-giving flesh and blood, to wash us with the water flowing from his pierced side to give us life and grace and love. This is our assurance here. And as the word gives us his gifts, we rejoice. We never mistake the gifts for the gift giver, and we look to Christ in all things and at all times, trusting that he will raise us up in due season. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, with my words abiding in you, says Jesus, ask whatever you will and be assured that what is right will be done for you. I am the vine. You are my branches. And finally, what then is the fruit? Well, it's simply faith. Now, I know that's kind of an unspectacular conclusion, but what the disciples needed that night in the upper room, and what we still need here, is simple faith, trust, reliance, confidence toward God in Christ. Trust that in him we have life, and that that life truly is what holds us up, guides us, and guards us for eternal life. This is the will of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent and have life in his name. And that life will lead to love and kindness and goodness, patience and gentleness, peace, self-control. But we can speak of those things later. For now, this is enough. I'm the vine, you are the branches, and by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and be my disciples. For Christ is risen. Hallelujah, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.